That's a beautiful song, and I was thinking while he was singing that Wednesday around noon, it'd be a little afternoon because of the way things will go. A little group of us will gather at a cemetery in Tecumseh, and I'll read 1 Thessalonians 4, the passage about the rapture and about the comfort that God gives and the hope that God gives, and then we'll sing that song, Amazing Grace. And every time I sing that song, I just marvel in the fact that it really is amazing. It really is. I mean, I you know, there are a lot of songs that we love and we love to sing, but I don't know of any that's more fitting of its name. I don't even know what else you could call it. Just Amazing Grace, and praise the Lord for that. It's how we can rejoice at a funeral. It's how we can sorrow. But not as those that have no hope, and it is a sorrow, but it's a different kind of sorrow. It's so different, and again, it's just that amazing grace that it's not the end. We have a home in heaven, and praise the Lord for that. And what a beautiful offertory David Potter played. I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that offertory. And again, I watch him play the piano, and I hear the notes and the song, and then I think about him out on that soccer field knocking people down and scored a couple of goals not too long ago, the last game I believe I saw anyway, and he's supposed to be playing defense, but he scored anyway. But I'm not sure how that all works, but anyway, just that balance again of strength and beauty that I love to see. And I love to see that in our young people, where they're not so intimidated by playing a musical instrument that they're scared of it. Again, I remind you, the one that killed the giant played the harp. And what a blessing to just see that balance in a young person's life. And I like that. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. I mentioned this to several groups that have been praying, and several groups of people that our men's prayer group and our staff, and we've been praying for Brenda's nephew, who was in a trial, and 2 years ago he was charged with murder, and it's kind of a long story. I don't want to get into all of that right now, but that was 2 years ago. Just recently they had the trial. Brenda and I were able to go a couple of times right before missions conference to the trial, and during our missions conference last week, they did finally end the trial, and they came up with a guilty verdict, and it's just devastating as far as the family is concerned. And so Brenda's with her mom, and just appreciate your prayers for her family. It's a small town, and of course it's the biggest thing in that town that has gone on for years. It's in the paper. You cannot walk anywhere without people knowing her mom and the family. And so it's a very, very difficult time. Appreciate your prayers on that. Certainly, it did not go the way we thought it would, but it went the way that it went. And so just with her mom's heart and everything, it's just been a real tough couple of weeks. So we appreciate your prayers for that. And that'll be a real blessing to know that. Acts 5 and verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. And again, you see the miracles here. You see amazing things happening, the signs and the wonders. But people, believers being added to the Lord, people getting saved, multitudes, the Bible says, men and women, insomuch they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. And I call your attention to verse 15. I want to talk to you about the shadow of Peter. Father, please bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts tonight. And I pray that you'll just help us to reflect on our conference that we just had, and Just think about all the blessings that we've seen and all the miracles that took place. And certainly, God, you worked in our church again. And I thank you so much for that. And I pray that you'll work tonight and challenge us with the message and use your word in our lives and prepare us as we have the Lord's Supper together. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Certainly, I want to thank the Lord for the missions conference this past week, and God blessed in a great way. And just the many things, the missionaries that we had. I don't flip a coin or anything like that. I pray and I get names. In fact, I mentioned to the men's prayer group that the calls will come in the next 2 months. I will get more calls than ever because our missionaries that were here will tell everybody about our conference. And I'll have missionaries will call from everywhere, and we'll get their information, and they'll all call, and it'll be something like this. It'll be Pastor, I'm free for your conference. By the way, when is it? And that's how it goes. It really does. And praise the Lord for that, and praise the Lord for that reputation. But I thank the Lord for his working, but I thank you, because you are the reason the conference is how it is. There is no missions conference like the Berean Baptist Missions Conference without you, the people of Berean Baptist Church, and your heart being certainly a heart for missions. And every missionary mentioned to me more times than once that it's not just the adults, it's not just one group, it's not just this little section, it's everybody. It was everybody they talked to, everybody they ate a meal with, everybody they stayed with, everybody they met in the church service. It was adults, it was teenagers, it was young people, it was everybody. It's the heart. They said the heart of the people was just so obviously for missions. And I thank you for having that kind of a heart for missions. It is a fantastic testimony for the cause of Christ and for our church. And people made sacrifices. That's the heart for missions. There's sacrifices have to be made. It doesn't just happen by accident. These thousands of people getting saved in Thailand, as was mentioned, it doesn't happen by accident. Somebody's making sacrifices. These missionaries, we look at them, they're sacrificing. They're leaving home and going to the field. I couldn't help but sit and shed some tears Sunday night as I was able to sit there and I was able to watch the Bowman family sitting there and Brother Bowman preaching. But I was watching the little girls. And, you know, in our minds, we're thinking, boy, I bet they're glad they get to come to the United States and live. They're not glad at all. They're absolutely heartbroken that they're leaving home. Now again, that's a different thinking there, but sacrifices. And Brother Bowman, you know, we talked about all of that and his leaving. And before he made that decision, he called. We prayed together as he did with many counselors. But again, his daughter's hearts, you know, just really, really torn as far as leaving Africa, and so again, sacrifice that has to be made. And you know, we're not the only conference in this country. We're not the only missions conference. There are many good conferences, but thank God we can be used. And again, I thank you for your sacrifice and all that took place. And I think about that as I think of this passage of Scripture, the shadow of Peter. And, you know, the shadow of Peter is the result of Peter in the light. It's simply the result of Peter walking in the light. These people said, if we could just have the shadow of Peter. I mean, we don't need anything. It's just the shadow of Peter. And the only way there's a shadow of Peter, the only way Peter is anything at all is because Peter's walking in the light. That's the only way. And I'll be honest with you. I was so proud of Berean Baptist Church in the light. People walking in the light. And you know, that shadow fell across some missionaries and helped them change their lives. That shadow is a far-reaching shadow. It'll reach into their lives. It'll reach into the countries that they go to. Think about that. That shadow of Berean, the result of Berean Baptist Church in the light, walking in the light, day after day, week after week, sacrificing and giving time and baking goods and selling those things and doing all the things that took place. Again, in the light of Jesus Christ, in the light, the shadow is going to influence people all over this world. And, you know, Lord willing, it may influence some churches and other mission conferences of the future. Because I guarantee as these guys go, they're passing it on. They're telling people, you know, this is what they do there. And again, it's a shadow. It's a shadow. But there is no shadow. There is no influence unless we're in the light. Thank God we were in the light last week. Thank God that Berean in the light cast a shadow that was an influence to be felt for years and years and years. And here, you know, we have a passage of Scripture where miracles are taking place. Pentecost has taken place. Ananias and Sapphira, there was the judgment of God on their lie that they told. And certainly that took place. And that was totally a work of God and not of man. As Pentecost was a work of God. And miracles took place. Those were a work of God and not of man. And yet, here Peter, the Bible says, people are so impressed with what's happening, and people are so excited about a man and God using a man, they said, if we could just have his shadow pass over. If we could just, you know, in my mind, I see him lying in the streets so that as Peter walks by, they hope that just his shadow would touch their relative that is sick, or their loved one who's vexed with the devil. And if we could just have the shadow of Peter, it would sure be a blessing. And the shadow of Peter, of course, is the result of Peter in the light. Peter without the light is nothing. Peter without the light, we don't even care about what influence he might have. I want to challenge you with just three thoughts tonight. And number one is the light. To have a shadow, you have to have the light. To have the right influence, you've got to have the right light. To be able to affect people, to be able to affect a nation, to be able to affect a country, to be able to affect the world, to be able to affect your loved ones, to be able to affect those that you work with, to be able to affect them, certainly to have a shadow, you've got to have the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, John 8 and verse 12. John 1, look at it real quick. John 1 and verse 40. Some things about the light. John 1, 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to the light. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And here Peter comes to the light. Peter comes to the light and praise God for the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And, you know, I think about the light and immediately I think about Moses and instances of light in Moses' life that are true in our lives as well. I think about Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3. And that burning bush got Moses' attention. And the light of God gets our attention. And it draws us to Him. You know, just like any light draws us to Him. The other day, we've had so many power problems as far as electricity here in the church. And some of the 60-year-old circuits and things are starting to give way. And we're having problems with them. And praise the Lord for Brother Campbell and Brother Kelvin helping us out. But the other, yesterday morning, I believe it was, I came in and very, very early in the morning, it was still dark. And that hallway in the offices is, I mean, it is dark. You talk about dark. There's no windows in the hallway, and I mean, it is really dark in there. And so I'm walking down there, and naturally, I knew the power was off. I knew the lights weren't working. Naturally, what's the first thing I did? Flip the switch, right? And then I said, you are so stupid. But it's just, I mean, it's pitch black. It's darkness that can be felt. I mean, it's like a cave in there. And I'm walking in there, and I'm tiptoeing. I'm thinking, okay, it's a hallway. There's nothing there. You know what I'm thinking of, Brother Nixon? Yeah, I know. And I'm thinking, well, there's nothing in the hallway, so I feel pretty safe. You know, and I'm doing my best impression of Frankenstein, and I'm walking through there. And sure enough, there was, for some reason, I thought, there is either someone or something tall right in front of me. And sure enough, it was the from RU, they had the stand and the TV and everything, and it had been left right in front of the door. kind of, a little bit off to the left. But I am so glad that I, you know, that God showed me. But I was looking for any little bit of light that I could possibly find. I mean, I'm looking for any little glimpse of light. Thank God for the light that shines. You know, when I was lost, I needed light. When you were lost, you needed light. Thank God for the light of the Lord Jesus. And old Moses, you know, he doesn't know what he's going to do. And God sends a light, a burning bush, so that it gets his attention, so that he knows, okay, here's the way. This is what I need to do. I know this now. Thank God for the light. Moses, again, you know, the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. You know, you say, oh, Moses, he was a great leader. He was a great leader, but he's not the leader. God's the leader. What about that pillar of fire? What about that pillar of a cloud? You know, that fire by night that lights up the sky and was the guide. And also, by the way, the protection. Aren't you glad that Jesus, our light, he gets our attention and he also guides us and he protects us in the darkness? You know, we have a hard time, and like I say, I would have, if I'd have been smart, I would have had a flashlight going through that hallway. But you know, I didn't want to mess with that, and because I knew it was going to be dark. But isn't it wonderful that in life we don't have to just kind of grope our way around? We don't have to just hope there's nothing there. We don't have to walk along and stumble over things in the darkness. Thank God that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He is the light that we've got to have to guide us and to protect us. Have you ever thought of this? Light can't be overcome with darkness. You can't do it. It just can't do it. It does not happen. You get into a dark cave and turn on a light and the light wins. Amen. The only time light ever was overcome by darkness was when? The plague. What'd you say, February? Yeah, in Michigan? It's close. But the plague that God sent to the Egyptians. And even though they lit a light, it was dark. God put it out. I mean, it just didn't burn. And light always overcomes. Isn't it wonderful that no matter how dark it is in our lives, no matter how dark it seems, God can brighten it up. God can provide a light, and that light is a light of protection. And then, of course, on Sinai, you know, I think about the light around Mount Sinai, and that was God's holiness, God's commandments, God's truth, and that light that shined. You know, again, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But understand this, that God's holiness is still God's holiness. God's truth and God's law and God's word is still true. Thank God that we have the light of his word and the light of his truth and the light that is his holiness. Thank God for that. You know, sometimes the whole world can be dark and it can be gloomy and it can be dreary and it can look like we're in big trouble. Thank God for the light. Thank God for his light. And in order to have a shadow, you've got to have a light. And you know, that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, we see the light. Number two, we see the person, and that's Peter. Now, Peter, you know, you study about Peter and you find when he's out of the light, he got in a lot of trouble. I'll be honest with you, you and I get in a lot of trouble when we're out of the light. When we're not in fellowship with the light, we get in trouble. When we walk in darkness, we get in trouble. When we turn our back on God, we get in trouble. When we disobey God, we get in trouble. And Peter, when he was out of the light, he was pretty impulsive and got himself in trouble. You know, he walked on water, and praise God for that. That's one of the great miracles in the Bible. But as soon as he took his eyes off the light, he got in trouble, didn't he? And he started to sink. You know, thank God he actually had the faith to walk on the water, but he found out and he learned a truth that he would know later on. Boy, don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't take your eyes off that light. Don't get out of the light. I mean, if you're going to have a shadow, you've got to have the light, but you're the person in the light. And by the way, that person without the light can be in a lot of trouble. That person without the light, nobody would be interested in him. Do you think they would have lined the streets just for Peter? No. Do you think they would have brought their sick and their demon-possessed people and their lost? Do you think they would have brought them out there just for Peter? No, because Peter without the light is nothing. And you and I without the light, we're nothing. Peter, out of the light, he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink in the water. Without the light and out of the light, he denied Christ's death. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. Peter, no way. That is not going to happen. Jesus actually said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. You want to offend God, get out of the light. You want to offend God, tell God that you don't want his will to be done. Amen. That's what Peter was doing. Jesus clearly said, this is what's going to happen. Peter said, no, not so. Not so. This cannot happen. See, Peter wanted the kingdom now. He didn't want to suffer. He didn't want trials. He didn't want all the problems. He wanted the kingdom now. We are burying our heads in the sand if we think that we're going to get something to happen just because we want it and it's not God's will. We are burying our heads in the sand to think that we're not going to suffer some, that we're not going to have trials, that we're not going to have sorrows. We're not believing the Bible. In the light, we realize, hey, it's not about my will, it's God's will. As long as we're in the light, we understand all that. We get out of the light, we become selfish. We get out of the light, we question God's will. But in the light, we have no problem with that. Peter didn't. I'll show you that here in a few minutes. You see, the person without the light, he's in all kinds of trouble. He sinks. He denies God's will. Yeah, he rejects God's will. You know, we're never in more danger than when we're outside of the will of God. Never. I don't care how nasty it looks inside the will of God. When you're there, you're with the light and you're protected. You're safe. You're like the children of Israel. Hey, the Red Sea's going to part. You're going to be all right. The Egyptian army's going to drown. It's going to be okay. Amen. It may not look okay, and it may look devastating, but in the light, you're safe. Everything's okay. Boy, you get away from that light. You get in trouble. He denied Christ's death. Said, no way. I want the kingdom of God without any trouble, any trials, any problems, nothing like that. And of course, we know Peter, outside of the light, he denied Christ. Jesus was taken, and Peter, yeah, he got with the wrong crowd, and he got out of the light. You know, one of the number one dangers of being with the wrong crowd is they may take you out of the light. All of a sudden, you're not fellowshipping with God anymore. All of a sudden, you're not in the Word of God anymore. All of a sudden, you're not faithful to church anymore. All of a sudden, you know, you have gotten away from the light, and you know, just like Peter, you deny Christ. You say, oh, preacher, I would never deny Christ. Come on, you would do what Peter did. Why did he do it? Because of the fear of man. Understand, light takes away fear. Light takes away fear. I mean, you have a little child, and they're terrified of whatever's under the bed. By the way, when I was a kid, everything under the bed was everything I owned. It was all under the bed. Candy from 2 years ago was under the bed. Ants that were carrying it away were under the bed. Roaches that were, anyway. But, I mean, there was all kinds of things under the bed. And but you take that child, and at night they're scared to death, and just put a little light in there, and everything's okay, as if that light's going to protect you. It's like my wife. You know, she talks about she has to be covered up and had some, bad dreams and stuff when she was a kid. Anyway, she has to have covers on her. And I say, why? And she said, well, you know, some killer may come. What's a sheet going to do? You know, stop a bullet? Stop an axe? No, but anyway, it makes her feel good, so praise the Lord. So, you know, you turn the light on, and all of a sudden, everything's okay. Everything's all right. Peter denied Christ because he got away from the light. It says he followed Jesus afar off. If you're following Jesus afar off, you're in danger. Because the fear of man will cause you to do things you said you never would do. Hey, you know what? They said if we just the shadow of Peter, if we just have the shadow, hey, Peter, why do you have a shadow? Well, it's because I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the light, people are being saved. I'm walking in the light, people are being healed. I'm walking in the light, miracles are happening. I'm walking in the light, God's blessing. I'm walking in the light, and people can tell that God's hand is on my life. And I'm walking in the light. But when you weren't in the light, you denied Christ. It's hard to believe it's the same guy. It's hard to believe we're the same person sometimes, isn't it? Do you ever look in the mirror and say, I cannot believe you are the same person that was on the altar begging God for something, and you just did that? Do you ever look in the mirror and say that to yourself? and you can't believe it, that's Peter. But it's the difference is the light. The difference, did you read your Bible today? Did you pray today? Are you walking with Jesus today? Are you in the light or not? Peter, out of the light, he sunk in the water. He denied Christ's death. He denied Christ. But in the light, look at the contrast. And this is what's amazing to me. Look at Acts 2, verse 14. The contrast of Peter in the light. Acts 2, verse 14. The Bible says, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes on, and he goes on, and he takes his stand for the Lord, and he goes to jail, and by faith, and he preaches by faith. And he preaches with the power of God on his life. But that's Peter in the light. You know, in the dark, he sinks. He doesn't have faith enough to keep walking on the water. But in the light, he preaches with faith. And he doesn't care what anybody says. You know, it's better to obey God than man. I'm not worried about man anymore. And he preached with faith. He preached about the resurrection. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up. That's the same Peter that denied that Christ was going to die. That's the same Peter that said, oh, no. When Jesus said, I'm going to die, I'm going to be slain, I'm going to rise again. That's the same Peter. Whoa, in the dark, he said, no, that cannot happen. It will not happen. But in the light, he said, this Jesus, you killed him, you crucified him, but God's raised him up. Same guy. Wait a minute, what's the difference? The light. The difference is the light. You're down, you're discouraged, you've got things to say, maybe they're negative, maybe you're hanging your head, maybe you're not a good testimony. Hey, listen to me, get in the light. It changes everything. And of course, he was able to preach Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we know how he denied Christ. And again, how sad that we even know about that, but we do. But in chapter 4, verse 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Here's the guy that denied him. Now he's lifting him up. The difference is he's in the light. Hey, listen, if you're going to be an influence, if you're going to be a good influence, it's the result of us in the light. The shadow of, if just the shadow of Peter, If Peter walks by, just his shadow, we know that our loved ones will be changed. We know that their lives will be changed. Now, again, the shadow wasn't anything. It was the fact that he was in the light. Amen. By the way, that's why it's foolish to worship a person. Amen. Okay, again, let's consider Peter without the light. He's nothing. That's why, again, you know, to worship Peter like the Catholics do, without the light. Hey, worship the light. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the light. It's not about a person. Just like it'd be foolish to worship Berean Baptist Church because of last week. But I'll tell you what, the light that we were in, the light that was shining very clearly, boy, the shadow is going to go a long, long way. The influence of that conference, because some folks walked in the light. The light of God Almighty. Wow, what an amazing thing. Peter in the light, souls are saved. Peter in the light, lives are changed. Peter in the light, people believed God and his shadow. Boy, if the shadow of Peter, if we could just have his shadow, wow. That's the result of him plus light. The light being the Lord Jesus Christ. I just wonder what we could do if we just keep walking in the light. I just wonder what honestly you could do at where you work. You say, preacher, it's dark all around me. Oh, but there's light that will go with you. There's light that'll be with you wherever you go. No matter how bad. Do you think for one minute that the missionaries aren't terrified to go to another country? They're scared. There's no question about that. They're leaving home, leaving everything they've ever known. And for them to go, they've got to believe in that light. They've got to know that in that light, they're going to have a guide. They're going to have a protector. They're going to be exactly where they're supposed to be. And that light is going to take care of them. That light is going to guide and direct and bless them. Number one, we see the light. That's the Lord Jesus. Number two, we see the person. That's you and I. Number three, we see the shadow. The shadow. It's simply the result of Peter in the light. Your shadow, it's just the result of you in the light. What kind of a shadow do you cast today? What kind of influence do you have because of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, you know, nothing's really happening in my life. How sad, because if the light is there, you'll have a shadow. Something will happen. People say, I want to be near that guy. I want to be near that person. Do you find at work people come to you all the time when they have a prayer request? Do you find that folks come to you because you've seen God do great works before? That's, again, that's the shadow. That's his influence. The shadow didn't heal anybody, wouldn't heal anybody, couldn't heal anybody. But the fact that Peter was in the light, people said, I like that. You know, I want to be around people that are in the light. I want to be around people. These people said, we want to be around somebody who has God's power on their life. We want to take our loved ones to somebody who has the power of God on their life. Just the shadow of Peter. Acts 4, verse 13, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We want to be around these guys because Jesus can do anything. Amen. And they walk with him. That's what it means by the shadow, the influence. The influence because he's in the light. They've been with Jesus. 3,000 saved. Church was built. How? How did all that happen? How could it happen? Because some people walked in the light. Peter was in the light, and Peter inspired them to believe and trust their God. Evan Berkrop, a Norwegian who was under Nazi guard during World War II, it is said that they had an 11-man guard detail that had to be changed constantly. Constantly. They had to bring a new man in. Over and over and over, they had to keep changing his guard constantly to prevent them from coming under his spiritual influence. Wouldn't you like to have that said about you? Not that you're needing a guard, but boy, the influence. But that's a guy that was walking in the light. That's a guy that let the light shine on him. It's said about Moses, when he met with God, the people tried to put a veil because he shined. Wow. Because he shined. They said, wait a minute, it's too bright. We can't handle that. People are always going to try to veil your walk with God. But then there's always going to be somebody that says, I need you to walk with God. Parents, your children need you to walk with God. Teacher, your student needs you to walk with God. A bus captain, your bus riders need you to walk with God. Sir, your co-workers need you to walk with God. A Berean Baptist Church, Adrian needs us to walk with God. Okay, the world needs us for missions. Amen. Praise God. But our own neighborhood needs us to walk with God. Let me kind of draw this to a conclusion here. Peter, outside of the light, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he didn't have any faith. But notice what he wrote in 2 Peter 1. And I submit to you, the difference is the light. You might see your own attitude here. You might see your own thinking here. You might see your own, maybe something you've said even recently to yourself or to someone else. 2 Peter 1 and verse 9. Outside the light, he said, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he sank in the water. 2 Peter 1 and verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. You know, his attitude's a whole lot different in the light, isn't it? He said, now I'm not blind. Now I have these things. And by the way, these things are the things we're talking about on Wednesday night that we're to add to our faith. And he said, now I can see. Now I can see the Lord, and I can keep my eyes on the light and that which is light. And I trust him and I believe him. When he wanted the kingdom without suffering, this is the same one who wrote later on, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. 1 Peter 4, verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Jesus, they're not going to kill you. Just kill them all. Just wipe them out, Jesus. Come on, you can't let them take you. You can't let them put you on trial. You can't let them crucify you. Hey, Jesus, let's just get the sword out and wipe them all out. He said all that when he was not in the light. He didn't realize how big it was. You know, you and I, when we're not walking with him, we don't realize all that's going on either. And when we're not walking with him, we don't trust him either. And we make foolish statements, kind of like Peter must have, when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, right? Thou art an offense to me, when we're questioning the will of God. When we're arguing about the will of God with God. Wow. But the only reason we would ever do that, right, is because we're not walking in the light like we should be. The difference with Peter when he denied that Christ was going to be crucified, and 1 Peter 4, verse 16 is the light. He said, you know what? I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through all that. Jesus, just kill them all. And God makes it very clear, though, as Peter walks with him and talks with him and learns of him, that if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Wow. That's Peter. Same guy. Different location. One location, he's not in the light. Another location, he's in the light. This is the Peter I'd like his shadow to pass over. This is the Christian. We need the shadow, the influence of him being in the light to influence our Sunday school kids. Amen. To influence our bus kids. To influence our Christian school kids. To influence our neighbors. To influence coworkers. To influence our loved ones. That's the kind of person right there. That person who's walking in the light. And the same Peter that denied Christ because he was afraid of man. You're with him. Blankety blank, I'm not with him. Can you imagine that? You say, I would never do. Yeah, I know. I know. He was afraid of man. But the same guy in the light, he wrote 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. That's him, Peter. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. What's the difference? Well, he's in the light now. He's in the light. But he had to be in the light to affect these people. And you and I have to be in the light to affect people. Hey, let's get tired of our Christianity just being a term. You know, let's have an effect. The only way we're going to have an effect is to be in the light. Let your shadow be a positive influence in someone's life. Let it be known that, boy, if I could just be near them, if I could just be near that person, I'll give them my prayer request. I'll have them pray. That person walks with God. That's what was obvious. The result of Berean Baptist Church in the light, well, you know, last week, we can't even imagine the result. Can't even begin to imagine. What an impact. What did we do? Was one of those missionaries, were they maybe contemplating quitting? I don't know. Nobody said anything, but could they have been? Maybe it was somebody that's a friend of theirs was contemplating that. I don't know. And they've now provided encouragement. Maybe it's that the next great preacher is there in Thailand and they're going to go win that person to Christ. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody down in Peru that's about to kill themselves. And missionaries are going to go and lead them to Christ. I have no idea. I just know this, that when we're in the light, anything's possible. Signs, wonders, miracles, people believing. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. People believing. Why do they believe? Well, it's your shadow. Your shadow. How do you have a shadow? You're in the light. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. How many tonight would say, "Preacher, God's speaking to my heart about something. Please pray for me." Raise your hand. Slip it up. Slip it up all over. God's speaking to my heart. God's speaking to my heart. I want to be in the light.